Here's your Kennedy Malloy catch-up for anything you've missed. You don't want to miss the unbelievable deal of the year from Bosch. Grab a Bosch Heavy Duty Pro Core 18-volt two-piece brushless kit for $299 at selected retailers now. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, big fella. Well said. Welcome to the big Thursday edition of Kennedy Malloy. It is going to be a cracker. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy.
You sound good.
Yeah.
You're back.
You know what? I'm a little trooper. I soldiered on yesterday.
We were very proud of you yesterday.
It's like kicking into a 6-goal breeze, and I just got it done.
But you might have to go gently with me today, and I'll tell you why in a minute.
You're not going to milk this, I hope.
Treat me with care.
Hey, big show today. We'll talk about all the fallout from Origin 1. Mm. Oh, there's a brouhaha. Oh. There could be a civil war here between the states of Queensland and New South Wales after Bootgate.
Congratulations to Queensland.
People have really fired up.
Bootgate, that was
crazy. Yeah, here we go. Everyone's got an opinion. We'll run that up the flagpole and get you to call us up and tell us what you're
thinking. Tell us how you feel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. What about, we're going to talk about something that's happened on the Today Extra show.
Oh, my
with
God.
With David Campbell and Sonia. There was a bit of a train wreck with one of the maths contestants.
Maths. I thought it was done and dusted, but it just keeps
giving. It's not. They keep popping up everywhere.
Well, do that. You're going to do a bit of a reality break, so I believe you watch MasterChef as well.
That's true.
Then, hello, you can look, but you can't touch Jane Kennedy. Dr. Chris Brown will be joining us. Oh, we've got a few
One of the most incredible stories I've ever heard in my life came about today involving ladybirds. I'm serious. It's an incredible story I want to talk to you about.
I want to ask him about the guy who ran into the burning house to grab his dog. Oh, have you seen the footage?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's going to make me cry.
The guy
again.
Gets burnt. It's hilarious.
Dogs are right, though.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Speaking of heroes of mine, how about the Matildas, who are playing on the weekend, and Chloe Legazzo from the Matildas. We're going to have a chat with her getting ready to play in France for the World Cup.
Cannot wait. That'll be great. We'll do a bit of a sports update. There's so much more to get through. We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top. You, what's wrong with you?
You were sitting banging on because you had the flu shot, which everybody has, which is very ordinary.
Hang
plain.
On. Now.
Now, I've had some really quite remarkable and interesting immunisations today with one of my 15 I've only got one 15-year-old. I've had yellow fever, typhoid, and Hep A.
Needles.
A little bruised. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Do you get those shots just to work on the show? are you planning something, or is it just
in my contract to work with you?
Yeah, to work with me in a studio
it's
for a
mandatory.
Year. You need yellow fever.
I get a booster. No, the reason
I am insulted.
Don't be insulted.
What's yellow fever?
Yellow fever is a mosquito-borne
sounds good.
Disease.
Sounds like a bit of fun.
And, of course, you know how typhoid is.
What's yellow fever? What would the symptoms be there?
I think it's sweatiness, rashes.
Great.
Organs might have a bit of a collapse.
What's the worst that could happen?
That's enough. You can die.
Yeah, die.
So I'm going to
Ebola?
A country.
Did you get Ebola?
Well, it's close to a country where Ebola came from. I'm going.
Flesh-eating virus.
Yeah, that'll be there too.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Uganda.
Ah, right.
Holy moly.
Yes, I am. And I'm going to go and see
one of the greatest despots of all time, Idi Amin. I rate him in order. Idi Amin, Pol Pot, Ceausescu.
Yep. I'm not going to mention Idi Amin when I cross the border.
No, give it a run.
No, I thought maybe.
You should dress like him.
Really?
Put the big hat on.
So where,
go blackface? Yeah.
Central Africa? Well. Like, where is Uganda?
Yeah, well, central.
I'm just trying to
picture. What a sheltered life
you
lead. No. Get the globe somewhere. I need someone. That's
next door to Rwanda. Does that help?
Well, that'd be a good place for a holiday.
Well.
It's a lot of great stuff.
Anyway, we're going because there's been...
Hutus and Tutsis, they know how to roll.
We're going to see the pygmies, real pygmies.
Don't talk about them like that. They're short people. You can't call them midgets.
Pygmy.
I know you can't call them midgets.
I'm not calling them. They're pygmies.
I know someone who hang out with the pygmies. They're not nice. They will turn.
That'll be nice to me and my son.
That'll be nice to me.
No, you know what it is? It's nice. Classic short man complex. It's your real little Napoleonic.
Anyway, I hope they're not listening to this.
I'm telling you, watch yourself.
I will watch. I'm going to go with someone. I'm not just going to rock up to a pygmy village, mate.
Take some capsicum spray.
I'm going to
attack in groups.
I'm taking Mace. Anyway, I'm going to go
bang,
and see.
You're beating off six of them.
I'm going to see the mountain gorillas. We're going to go in with some researchers and spend. This might be the last you see of me, though, because I think there has been a few kidnappings lately.
No kidding.
And if they ring up about a ransom, give over your million bucks. Come on.
Yeah, I'll barter. What about the last Foo Fighters CD and Icy Cold Can of Coke?
But please don't hang up on them if I get kidnapped along the way. But anyway, that's what I'm doing in the upcoming school.
What about the guy? It reminds me of the guys. You know the guy faked his own kidnapping because he wanted to go out with the boys.
Oh, that's right.
But he couldn't tell didn't want to tell his wife because he wouldn't be allowed to go. So he faked his own kidnapping. Yeah. And then they wanted money for more beers, so they sent a ransom note.
I won't be doing
Boy,
that.
Boy, was he in trouble.
I'll be fine.
You get the idea. We're underway. Why don't you have something to eat? Have some sugar. Have a little sugar hit.
I will.
And we'll get on with it. When we come back, let's talk about Bootgate from State of Origin 1.
All thanks to Bosch and the heavy-duty Procore 18-volt two-piece brushless kit for an unbelievable $299.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Everyone watching Origin last night?
Absolutely.
Off we go. So Queensland off to a flyer at home. I've taken the Chockies. I think they've won. The team that wins the first goes on 77% of the time.
Record says.
To win the series, big ask for New South Wales over in Perth. But I tell you what, there's controversy. There's been calls for the game to be annulled. largely from New South Wales.
Not only
for care in Queensland, surprisingly, but a controversial moment in the game when Hunt tried to rip off Cordner's boot. Now, what he's done is he's grabbed the shoe, ripped it off him, run away and thrown it into the crowd.
It wouldn't be my first instinct, but...
it was a good tactic, and it worked well.
Has it been done before? Is there a precedent?
Cordner was left running around in one shoe for several minutes, during which time he bizarrely chose to take over kicking duties.
Without his boot.
Not many people realised at the time, but there it was. Straight off the bat, it's a new low, according to many in New South Wales. Queensland couldn't give a stuff. They've banked the points. This could be one of those controversial moments that go down in Origin history. It's a defining moment. 133353 from either state. Give us a call.
And what was it highlight?
Because you know when these things do get out of hand, they get out of hand. There's a war called the Soccer War, and it's between Honduras and Uruguay, and it happened when those two teams played soccer against each other. Honduras didn't like the result, so they sent in the tanks.
Really?
That's taking it to a different level.
They in the tank.
Well, similar tactics, haven't
So things can escalate quickly.
Yeah.
Didn't a Sydney Swans player actually climb up the goalpost?
Oh, that was recently.
A bit of nutty behaviour. So
to try and put the guy off kicking a goal.
To shake the goalpost.
I've never seen that before.
Which is against the rules, and then he didn't get pinged.
Mm.
But, you know, I've heard some very emotional...
Squawking. Well, from New South Wales people, of course, about last night.
Look, it's a big occasion. Emotions are running high. I'm sure it's going to get to that state. But, no one seemed to notice at the time.
Mm.
I tell you what, let's take a break, come back, and we'll take some calls. 1-3-3-5-3.
Get involved. And by the way, you might get yourself a trip to Townsville as well, where you can grab a holiday package from just $299 at townsvillenorthqueensland.com.au.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
State of Origin 1 is done and won by Queensland. Just
and
controversial.
There's more fireworks afterwards than there was during the actual game, all because Queensland hooker Ben Hunt has pulled one out of the bottom drawer in a very sneaky moment that went largely unnoticed in the second half. I think the score was 8-8. It was crunch time. The game had just ticked past the hour. And someone needed to do something, and Hunt's gone, I know what I'll do. I'll grab Cordner's boot, I'll pinch it.
And chuck it.
And I will chuck it into the crowd.
Interesting tactic.
Didn't stop Cordner, who ran around for several minutes without a boot on, in which time he took over the kicking duties. It's all happening. Was it a moment of madness? Was it too low? Should the score be null and void? Should they be forced to play the whole thing again?
I don't think anyone's saying that.
Depends
in
who you're talking to.
Yeah,
yes.
What state you go to.
This could result in a civil war. It's going to get that border. I'd hate to be living on that border. It'd be like the Gaza Strip today.
Tweed heads, cool and gather.
Mexico and USA.
You'll have to dig a tunnel. Let's see what the locals are thinking. Stephen from the great state of Queensland, what's your take on it?
No, the Blues are having a whinge. I mean, I didn't see it happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't, but if it did happen, he learned it from the James Maloney, who's been known to play for the Blues.
Oh, righto.
Well, James Maloney, who's he play for? Is it Panthers?
Yeah, so he plays for the Panthers current well.
All right. Has been known to do the same. All right. So you're saying what's good for Goose, good for Gander, shut up, play on.
Yeah, unless you're absolutely clean skin. What are you whinging about?
Stephen, you're a Queenslander. Are you saying you didn't watch it last night?
No, I watched the game. I just see Hunt do New South Wales grubbiness.
Mate, he would get kicked out of Queensland if you didn't watch the state of
Ireland. Something from the Dragons, so, you know.
Oh, yeah,
All right. Thanks, you made
Stephen.
Your point, Stephen.
Let's go to Ben.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, how you going, Ben? What state are you calling from first? Better get this right.
Sunny Queensland.
Oh, that's why you sound a bit chipper.
Pretty chirpy today, eh?
That's it.
All right. What do you make of the whole furore?
Mate, I agree with that caller about James Maloney. 100% grub.
Well, that's not surprising.
Tyson Frizzell did the same thing to Cameron Munster. Cameron Munster.
Last night?
It's last night.
What do you mean? When
was that behind play?
No, he was on the try line. Had to sit there. Tyson Frizzell popped off his shoe, and then Munster had to sit there, untie it, and retie back up.
Listen, these boys need to know how to tie up a shoelace a bit tougher, don't you think?
What about slip-ons? We need slip-ons.
Crocs.
Mate, there'll be a big meeting about this. Is it in the spirit of the game, Ben?
Oh, mate, if one does it to one, the one can do it to the other.
All right.
Let's put Ben on the list too.
Let's try someone from New South Wales. Let's go to Matt. Matt, what do you think?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
What do you think? Good, bad? What's happening?
I think it's good. I think we won the series last year and Maloney was doing tactics like that. He wasn't there this year and we're down 1-0. But I think now the gloves are off. I think we can bring back the squirrel grip, the hopper.
Not the hopper one.
I don't know about that. That's surely been outlawed.
I tell you what, you don't want the gloves off if hopper's about.
No.
You want him in gloves.
Gloves on.
Do you know what? I remember when he took up boxing, Hopper Wada. I remember saying to myself, well, at least they make him wear gloves. he can't do too much damage.
Hey, good on you, Matt. Thanks for the call. Thanks, you're hopeful for next round?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Very hopeful.
After Perth, you'll be right. It'll be good to see. I like it when it's all squared up and it goes
me too.
As a neutral, absolutely. As someone from a southern state.
Channel 9 by the way, for
these two states beat each other to a bloody pulp. It is fun to watch.
Hey, Jared.
When you don't have a dog in the fight.
Oh, how much fun it's enjoyable, isn't it? Yeah. How are you, Jared? You're from the great state of Queensland.
Yeah, I'm from Queensland.
What's your
name? Living in Queensland, but I do support New South Wales.
On this one? Oh.
Yeah, I grew up in New South Wales. I'll just say it was a great game last night.
Wasn't it ever?
Very enjoyable to watch.
Yep.
I do disagree with the other callers. So I think that it was a very dirty tactic. Yeah, New South Wales may have done that in the past. But what kind of example are these players setting for the younger generation and for kids that all enjoy watching the football?
Yep.
I just think it was very unsportsmanlike.
We're probably overblowing it because it's fun to talk about. But otherwise, I think it was an exemplary. It was a great example. But I thought both teams played a smashing game and a whole ball. We'll take your point. But in the meantime, we're just doing a bit of muckraking, Jared, trying to get it up and running. Thanks. Give Jared a prize, would you?
All right, you got a prize pack and put you in the draw also for the Townsville trip as well.
So, excellent.
There you go,
Jared.
It's not far. You're probably already calling from there, are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm Rama Downs up in Queensland.
All right.
Not too far to go.
You'll be right. Well done. Steve, what's going on, mate?
Just bloody putting my 2 cents worth in.
Good on you, mate.
What are you thinking?
I don't think there was anything wrong with it. It was a workplace health and safety issue. But he twisted an ankle, put him up in arms. No, he's done the right thing.
He didn't hit anyone in the head in the crowd with it, did he?
Didn't make it to the crowd. Oh, it made it to the sideline.
It just made it to the sideline.
It wasn't even off the field.
That's right.
That was a girly throw then.
No,
it wasn't a girl. It made a fair way.
There's
no issues.
All right, just be careful if anyone living along the border. Because there's a lot going on. There it is. It's the big takeaway from Origin 1. Can't wait to see what happens in Perth. Coming soon to you.
This is Kennedy Malloy. She's read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source so you don't have to. Jane Kennedy's Entertainment Report.
I'm going to say the word maths.
This is like a reality TV break, this one,
isn't it?
It's been a while, because you've, quite frankly, lost a bit of interest since the demise of MAFS.
Well, there's nothing on at the moment.
You gave Paradise Island a go, and that didn't ring your bell?
No, but I've...
Is that still going? What happened there?
No, it hasn't. Well, I'm waiting for that to come back.
I gave that other one.
That was, Love Island? No.
Oh, yeah, not Bachelor in Paradise.
Bachelor in Paradise.
Was it? Yeah.
What happened to that?
Oh, actually, I did lose interest in that. It fizzed out. I didn't care.
A bit boring.
I'm waiting for The Bachelor to come back on. They've got the astrophysicist as a bachelor. Jeez. You know that? Yeah.
Who's that?
Oh, some guy with glasses.
It'll be like...
Oh, I guess we'll have the makeover.
Chippendale model wearing glasses.
Correct.
Oh, look out, here he is.
There's a few... Well, MasterChef's on. I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but I was going to bring your attention.
I was about to say, when's MasterChef back?
It's on. It's been on.
It's been on for weeks.
You know that. We've had Matt in here.
Still rates all right.
Rates well.
But what's going on there?
Well, okay. Well, I don't know.
Let's do it. I just don't understand, because normally by now there's people going the blub. George has punched someone. But what you're saying to me,
I'm saying
that's
it's
up
a
and
bit,
running.
Well, I mean, I've been trying to sort of find things to talk about on the show.
Oh, yeah?
The contestants are just, you know, really competent.
Yeah.
There's no backstory drama.
We've already seen him make a crook and whoosh.
Yeah. We've seen the Croc and Bush been earlier.
There's no Yukio, though, is there?
No Yukio. Who's the new Yukio?
There's no bawling. There's no crying going on. And in fact, well, I did watch the other night.
Right. And what was going on? What was the signature dish? What were they cooking?
You had to cook something with star of cuisine from Queensland because they're in Brisbane.
Oh, hello, pineapple.
Yeah. Exactly.
Bang!
Cook something with pineapple.
Oh, that'd be easy.
Well, it is easy. So yeah, I don't even know what the big deal is.
Pineapple
anyway.
Fritter?
Well, some bird made a cake. And
a pineapple, what did you put? Cake?
She featured a pineapple. And
like a pavlova with pineapple.
Oh,
well,
yeah?
Pavlova's not a cake.
Yes, it is.
Oh, sorry.
Pavlova's not a cake, it's dessert.
Oh, thanks for correcting me.
Anyway.
I put it in the cake family.
By definition.
Pavlova's not a cake, it's a meringue.
Well,
has no
meringue's
flour
a cake.
In it.
Yeah.
What's a lemon meringue pie then? It's a cake.
It's a tart.
Bang! Oh, you're the only tart.
Hang on.
A lemon meringue pie or an apple blossom pie, both of those.
Apple blossom?
I would love to.
I think that's a nickname you give to some of your girlfriends.
According to Google, a pavlova is a meringue-based cake.
Thank you very much, Dave.
What would Google know?
Dave, give yourself a prize.
Thank you. Prize pack for Dave.
Anyway, they had to cook with pineapples.
You admit that you were... Bit overstepped the
never.
Line.
Never. I'll never admit that.
Okay, so what happened? What'd
she
cook?
She made a cake.
A flan.
I told you.
A flan.
No.
You can have a flan that's got a pineapple flan. That's a cake.
No, it's not.
Pizza.
Pizza.
This is juvenile. I'm trying to tell you about this cake that this woman made. makes.
Tell us what type of cake.
Pineapple cake.
But that's not, is it a sponge? Is it?
It's got sponge in it.
How
it's
many
got
layers?
Buttercream,
how
about
many layers?
Six layers. It's really pissy
like
and small.
Like a wedding cake.
How much pineapple?
It's tiny.
Tiny?
I don't know, but clearly it didn't satisfy the judges.
Did you have them like a...
Well, this is about what MasterChef's about at the moment.
Mm.
This is all they can criticise someone for, and it's about a bloody cake and it's pineapple.
It's
you ready?
Correct, but what's their beef? That it's pineapple.
They had to feature pineapple, and this is what?
Had to showcase
pineapple, and this is
which
the
is
big,
a Queensland kind of thing.
And this is the big ultimate ending to the episode. Here's what they said.
This is a lovely cake. It's a moist sponge cake with layers. It's got cream on the top, it's got pineapple, but it's not the sort of dish that beats a professional chef.
It's not a celebration of pineapple, that's for sure.
It's not a celebration of pineapple.
I don't know how you have a celebration of pineapple unless you're the big pineapple and it's your birthday.
Yeah.
But that
I'll tell
is
you
not
how
a
you have
celebration
of pineapple. You chop it in half, you hollow it out, you pour in tequila,
vodka. Yeah. Now you're
some
talking.
Some Drambuie. You put in one of those bendy straws.
Oh, and off you go.
A little umbrella and, hello, girls, dinner's on.
Okay. So one other thing is they're saying they're going around Australia with MasterChef, right? And showcasing produce. It's just, you know, advertising.
Yeah, like homegrown and locally grown.
So they made this big deal, right? They're in Brisbane. And they go, but everybody, guess where we're going next? I'm going, oh, my God, this is it. Paris?
Yeah.
Milan?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear where they're going next.
We're off to Noosa.
Wait a minute.
Hang on. They're in Brisbane. That's 2 hours up the road. That's a minibus ride away.
You'll be back by the time this episode finishes.
It's the same diff.
Well, I have to do pineapple again. What are we celebrating? Still pineapple on the road.
At least you could bring out your macadamias.
You have more. We'll come back and do that very shortly.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
The 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup kicks off this weekend as our Aussie Matildas take on Italy. And hopefully it rains goals like this.
Brilliant. What a goal. Chloe Legazzo off the mark. First goal for her country, teed up by Sam Kerr.
The goal scorer there, Chloe Legazzo, has been to the Olympics, the Asian Cup and the Tournament of Nations, and she's been doing whatever it takes in preparation to come home with a World Cup.
You have to have the willingness to sacrifice your friendships, time away from your family, not staying out too late. To represent my country is an amazing feeling for me.
Plus, keep an eye out for her amazing tattoos.
My mom doesn't really like them, but when you get a tattoo, that's half your tricep, and it's about her. I think she's pretty happy about it.
Live from France, please welcome Matilda midfielder Chloe Legazzo.
How are you?
Hey, Chloe.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're really good. I have to ask, what's your favourite tat that you've got?
Oh, it's a good question. Actually, I have a few. So I think the Olympic rings tattooed on my wrist are probably my favourite. It's a good reminder every day to strive to be able to get back there.
Exactly. And a World Cup one from France 2019 would be handy, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Now, what are the chances? We go into this tournament ranked 6. I think that's the highest ranking we've ever gone into a World Cup in. I love this team. I love watching this team play. Are you all in sync? Are you feeling good? What's the vibe?
Yeah, the vibe in camp is really good. I think we had a good preparation in Turkey and it was something that we really needed. Arte did a really good job of being able to find a very good balance between being able to go to training and then being able to relax. So everyone coming into the camp is just really on another level. I think we're all just in a really good place and we've been waiting a long time for this tournament. So
we're playing Italy, of course, on Sunday the 9th, kicking off. They're ranked number 15. I think this is the first time they've been to a World Cup in a while.
In 20 years, I think.
It'd be great to beat Italy. They'll be diving all over the place, will they, in the usual Italian fashion?
Of course they will be. It'll be special for me too because I'm Italian.
Well, so. I was going to say that. Do you know, what part of Italy is the Legazzo family from, Chloe?
We're from Rafrano, which is near Sicily. So
okay.
My family is actually going to be going over to Italy in between the games to see our family. But, yeah, it's really interesting. I played them once when I first debuted for the national team. And, it will be very interesting to play them again. They've progressed above and beyond over the years, so it'll be a really good game.
And you'll be able to hear how they're sledging you in Italian. They won't realise that you'll be able to hear all their secret orders.
I'm the insider. Yeah, right.
Chloe, when you were a little girl, did you sort of think one day you would be playing for your country in a World Cup?
To be honest, I didn't because when we were younger, I didn't know there was a national team. So to be able to be here and be at my first World Cup is incredible. We're actually talking about all our journeys to the jersey in our team, and it's incredible to hear every single person's story. But for me, I really didn't think about it. I think I got cut 4 years ago, just before the last World Cup. So for me, this is something really, really special.
Well, you were nearly lost to the game, weren't you? You actually decided to take a year off and actually spent a year backpacking around the world, finding yourself and getting your head fresh. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I think it was the best thing that ever happened to me, to be honest. I think it made me appreciate the game so much more, and I'm really lucky to be able to still be really young and come back into the national team, but it definitely gave me a different view on football and my life as an athlete.
And Chloe, you've got a twin, twin brother. Is he into the great sport?
He is not into the great sport, but luckily he loves me. So he's sort of becoming... He's going to be coming in a couple of days, actually, to watch the first game. So that's my family's fantastic. Already over here, and I just have a few more people coming over.
Yeah. Well, you know that special bond twins have. You better win, because he'll get the enjoyment out of it. He'll be sitting on the other side of the world going, that feels good. So that'll be great. Now, when you get over Italy, you play Brazil. I'm guessing, what will they be going in, ranked one or two?
Brazil?
Yeah.
Brazil I'm not actually quite sure where they're sitting in the world, but they're always a really, really hard team for us. I think in the last few times that we've played them, the competition's been really, really hard, especially since the Olympics. But, yeah, it's always a good game between them, and they love football. They play as if
they do.
Their life depends on it.
Oh, yeah. And it does
indeed.
In some instances.
Yeah. It does. Chloe, you've got the...
I'll put it this way. You don't want to be the Colombian keeper.
Chloe, the whole of Australia is backing the Matildas. We love the
team.
We
love you. It's a great team.
It is, and we can't wait to watch you play Italy on Sunday, kick off at 9 p.m. Australian time at the Stade du Hainaut in France.
Yeah, no idea what she's talking about, do you? Hey, Brazil are ranked 10th, by the way, I've just been informed. So, wish
there
you well.
Oh, God, I wanted to say 10th, but I didn't want to say it, you know, when you like.
You didn't want to moz it.
Anyway, well done. Shouldn't have any trouble pulling their pants down. Thank you very much, Chloe. Can you pass on all our best to the girls? We'll be cheering you on.
Do.
You represent this country beautifully, and we're looking forward to seeing you play the great game.
Thank you so much.
Good on you, Chloe. Yes.
Chloe Legazzo there, by the way. You can catch all the Women's World Cup action on SBS from this Saturday. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, now, listen to me.
I was going to talk to you about before. I brought up Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
And
bless you.
Bless you. Are you allergic to it when I say Married at First Sight? Married at First Sight.
What?
We haven't seen on our screens for a long time, thank goodness.
So what's your point?
Look, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. At least once a day, there's one of them. They're like cockroaches. You can't kill these people.
There must be clickbait, though. There must be a reason why it keeps popping up. People must...
Yes, because they've all got publicists.
Oh, is that why?
Yes. Right. They've all got...
So what are you going on about? Like, how's this relevant in any way?
Well, they were on television yesterday.
What show?
It's Today.
Mm. Today Extra.
Yesterday.
How does that go? Is that as bad as Today? Or
don't you say that.
Is it?
You leave Today Extra out of it or I'll bop you.
They'd be fuming at Today Extra because of their shitty lead-in. Great.
They're not shitty about anything.
Oh, mate, that show is seriously.
It's not.
You know what?
Take out and whack them. I admit, I like it personally.
We are going to the Logies and those girls, I hope,
I like
bail you
girls.
Up.
In I fact, am on their side. I'm just saying.
You have not been on their
side. You have to call a spade.
You have not been supportive at all. And it's embarrassing.
It's on the woof.
It's embarrassing for me.
It's very awkward, isn't it?
But it's not their fault. You know,
it's not their fault. Be quiet.
Hey.
Anyway, they're on the Today Extra with David and Sonia. One of them was.
Would that be a better show up against Sunrise?
What, David and Sonia?
Be quiet.
To replace Deb and...
Yeah.
Right.
Married at First Sight.
Dickie.
Elizabeth Sobanoff.
Is he?
Stumbled her way through a television interview. I'm just passing what you're talking about because it's just you're embarrassing for me. You don't understand.
You're delirious from your yellow fever injection. You are.
I might be. They're on the telly, and you know, she was on. Her name was Lizzie, and she had lots of hair and big lips. That's all they all had.
Wonky, kind of wonky lips.
She probably listens to this show, but anyway,
I doubt it.
You don't think?
She's a Kyle and Jackie O.
Oh,
girl,
she okay. Well,
is
she
the one I'm saying.
Then.
All the maths people
okay,
are.
But
I'm going to play you something. If you just be quiet, I can play it to you. This is a bit of a car crash interview because this girl, get it together, man. You've got one job. Be prepared for questions.
She was in there to promote a new show.
Who
apparently.
Knows? We'll have a listen to what she says.
Okay. Hey, good to see you again.
Good to see you guys.
So, what is this project with Cyril?
I don't know.
Okay, thanks for coming in.
So I just heard about it. I have no
What do you mean you just heard about it?
I heard about it. So someone had one of my best friends forwarded me the link and goes, what are you doing? And I go, I don't know anything about this.
So who talked about it then? She did?
She must have.
So what? Let's spitball some ideas.
It could be a really great idea, though. This could actually be a really good idea.
Like you're on the road.
Well, what I heard was that it was like a simple life type of
that's
scenario.
Like,
I don't know much about this.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Right. I mean, it's like trying to spoon feed an infant.
A two-year-old.
Here comes the choo-choo train.
Listen, if you want a job in television, Elizabeth, you may have to prepare a little better than that.
Yeah. But they were talking to her about a show that she's been mooted in and she doesn't know anything about the show.
And they don't mean to shock you or take you by surprise on that show. So then Sonia follows it up.
You're clowning her.
Well, I'm not,
You're clowning Sonia.
I'm not clowning her.
You are.
Not really.
She's great. I love Sonia.
I'm just saying that Sonia tries to get a bit more. It's like blood out of a stone with this bird. And poor Sonia gets stuck too, trying to ask her a simple question. Have a listen.
What about Martha? Do you know much about her? Because she told us that she has no contact with any of the people from the show besides Cyrell. Is that right? Did I read that wrong? I read that wrong. Read that again.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's start from the top. It's okay, we're recording.
Let me read
this.
We spoke to Martha earlier this week. She told us she has no contact with any of the people from the show besides Cyrell. Do you keep in touch with anyone?
Not really, no.
Okay.
No.
I think today's show's safe.
No, that wasn't Sonia's fault. Again, she's dealing with a girl that doesn't deserve to have a television career.
You don't want to run into Sonia at the Logies.
I do want to run into Sonia.
This is when you start.
No, this is when you again are out of control and make up lies. You do.
Who else is on their table?
Glenn Robbins.
Glenn Robbins.
Tom Gleisner.
Tom Gleisner.
Oh, yeah.
You, me, anyone from Maths?
Well, I'm not having anyone from Maths on our table.
The cash cow.
Dickie Wilkins.
Dickie. Hey, Chris Brown.
Massive schlong.
Why do you keep saying that for?
Did you say that?
I just said.
Stop talking about Richard Schlong.
Okay, you're saying it now.
It's terrible.
Hey, guess
what? Do boys like that
stuff,
really?
It was a good episode of Game of Thrones last night.
Was there really?
Oh, you didn't even watch it.
It was unbelievable. So if anyone is listening,
I'm
upset. Episode 2 of season 2.
I'm writing this down.
And
no one cares.
Do you know the highlight? Some guy took a baby out into the forest and a White Walker retrieved it.
Oh.
Whoa.
Well, okay.
Theon, do you know who Theon Greyjoy is?
Yes, I do.
So there's seven kingdoms.
I know there's seven kingdoms.
The idea is you want to get on the Iron Throne. Theon's Greyjoy. He's in the wars.
He's a terrible character.
And Daenerys. Yeah, I don't know about Daenerys. Is she good?
Yes.
Stop
it. We'll
get to the bottom of that.
Oh, you're winding up.
I am. There's so much more to go. We can talk about this.
No, we can't.
Okay. Well, coming up next, Dr. Chris Brown. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, and it's going to be a ripper. Ash Barty goes round tonight, the French Open. We're all over that. We will bring you the absolute latest. There is a millennial update.
Yes.
This is something we do from time to time.
And it's freaking me out, I have to say.
Get into the heads of these little freaks. Yeah. They seem to have...
They're babies.
No life
literally.
Skills.
No. They've got to harden up. It's basically what we want them to do.
In a nutshell, I think you've just paraphrased our millennial update. We'll take some calls. We'll take some tweets. We'll rake over the coals of last night's game.
And
let's
start
at the top with this bloke.
You never know what you'll get with Dr. Chris Brown. One minute he's dealing with a randy emu.
The emu had come in from the bush and had actually fallen in love with the male farmer.
Wow. Really? What did the emu do when he saw you, God's sake?
That was competition, let me tell you.
It's dumped the farmer. He's got, well,
it's
hello.
Like married at first sight.
And the next, a plague of giant rats in Sydney.
Epicentre of it all is Potts Point, which is basically King's Cross. And there are rats in the streets. I blame the lockout laws. They got
What do we get today? Please welcome back Dr. Chris Brown.
There he is. Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Tonight? Just to get the ball rolling. Are you at the Logies this year?
I am.
Who you are?
Oh, yeah. You got a table to sit on?
We're trying to get a table of bad boys going. So far we've got Tommy G, Glenn Robbins, who's a two-pot screamer. Me and Jane will be doing a lot of heavy lifting in the drinking department.
We will indeed.
And I need a good wingman. Yeah. Someone who...
Oh, this is your master plan.
Someone who can
tying
work one
you,
out,
Chris.
One back. Yeah.
I get you.
What about Miguel as well? And the living room team.
The table placement is a very big deal at the Logies. It says a lot about your chances during the night. And if you guys are on table 96, I may pass.
Oh.
But if you're 1 to 20, Mickey, it would be my honour to go 1 for 1 with you.
I was on one year that was actually set up inside the male toilets. So
I have been near the kitchen banging door too over the years, but we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Are you just accepting, or are you presenting, or are you? What are you doing?
I'm not really sure.
I'm a bit blasé about it.
I won't be going 1 for 1 with you in the bathroom or the bar, Mickey. But
you have taken bitten off too much,
Chris. You have been spending some time with one of our great national animals, haven't you?
Look, I mean, it says a lot about my life a week ago I was liaising with emus. This week it's koalas. So I'm working my way through the Australian native
fauna.
Can I say this? I think the koala is our most overrated animal. Discuss.
Oh my god!
Not contributing enough personality, not giving you enough.
I just think it's got such an international reputation. It's so cute.
People come from everywhere just to touch one or to get a photograph of one.
Yeah. Just a little. You know, a little underwhelming when you actually
Chris, talk to us about the koala. It's
lazy,
not a loving kind of animal.
Lazy, uninterested dick.
The prevalence of chlamydia in the koala would say it is a very loving animal that can't get enough loving. Which is part of the problem. But I was doing some work in southeast Queensland, just tending to koalas in the suburbs of Brisbane, where their numbers are under threat. And there's been some interesting research coming out about why koalas' numbers are really in decline. And chlamydia, sure, it plays a part. But they've discovered that because of global warming and a few other factors, the moisture content of the leaves that they eat, which is where they get their food and also their water from, has dropped so significantly that they're actually dying from thirst.
That's terrible. They're totally dehydrated.
Yeah, so the koalas have a thirst, and the best thing you can do is very much like your NRMA ad is give a koala a drink. So put out like a water fountain, or put out like a source of water.
I'm talking about these lazy little fat bastards. They don't do much, and now they want.
This is our climate changing. Oh, but I don't know if half the country agrees with it or not. They're not putting things out.
Look, koalas are actually quite infamous in my Mickey. You'll like this. My family has a very interesting history with koalas. My dad is a vet as well. I may have talked about
it. We love what your dad does. He's an interesting vet.
He's very complicated. And when I was a kid, he actually used to look after a lot of koalas. And one day he was doing some testing on their chlamydia problem and actually flicked one of the samples, and it landed in his eye. And I saw him that day, and his eye was running. I said, what happened? And he explained it was from testing for chlamydia and a sample got in his eye. So I walked away from the conversation and assumed that Dad had chlamydia, naturally. And for 20 years, I'd been saying to people, that Dad had chlamydia. It caused a few issues socially for him in my hometown of Newcastle.
Sure.
It was only last year I was talking about it at a family barbecue, and he goes, that never happened. Like that, I did flick in my eye, but it was just a reaction to what I'd flicked into my eye. I never had chlamydia, which is the story he's sticking to.
And was he aware that you'd been telling that story?
Yeah. It certainly got around. So, look, Mum wasn't happy.
No.
But her tests have come back clear, so it's all fine.
You'd have all your shots, wouldn't you? Because of where you travel and you go all around the world?
I actually had a... it's funny you mentioned that. I had a bat lysavirus, which is basically a rabies scare. Two and a half weeks ago where I got scratched, and I've been on a course of rabies injections to make sure I don't start frothing at the mouth and coming down with lysavirus. So, in answer to your question,
guess what? That's nothing. I had to get a flu shot the other day, and I've been feeling a bit queasy.
Have you, Mickey?
Hey, now, rabies, that's not fun, right? So, rabies, that's
rabies is frothing at the mouth.
That's a big injection too, isn't it? I've seen those needles.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I'm off to Uganda. I think I've told you that. I just had yellow fever, typhoid and Hep A today. Anything else I should have for rabies, well, for example?
Well, the Logies are only a few weeks away. You could probably top up a few other things while you're there.
Got it, Doc.
Hey, what's yellow fever? Who cares if you get yellow fever, right? What's yellow fever?
Sounds cool.
Pretty significant.
What happens? What's the worst that could happen if you got yellow fever?
Well, if you're okay without your kidneys, and your liver, then go right ahead. But
I think my liver's gone.
Actually, mine is too. So
I don't know what yellow fever can add to that.
And your kidneys aren't far behind either.
No, can you hang about, sir?
I want to talk to you about a ladybug swarm. I have never heard anything like this in my life.
Ladybugs, they're overrated too.
Oh, they're not.
They're on the list.
They bring you good luck.
All right, Dr. Chris Brown is with us, by the way. The Living Room, you can catch Fridays at 7:30 on Network 10. More after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown joining us as well.
We are in consultation right now with the doc who's bringing us up to speed. Jane, what's taken your attention?
A massive blob showed up the other night on the National Weather Service's radar in San Diego in California. And they thought, God, what is that? Is that a massive rain cloud? What is happening? This is
unbelievable. It'll be locusts. I bet you it's locusts.
No.
They swarm in biblical proportions.
Yeah. Well, you're close. It's ladybirds. But it's the length and the breadth and of this blob.
What are they doing?
A concentrated mass about 10 miles wide.
They don't migrate, do they, Doc?
They do. They do actually.
Really? How long do they live for? I can't even get my head around this. And because ladybirds are so tiny.
Yeah, and they're all, you know, people like seeing little ladybirds.
They do, I love it.
Is a ladybird or a ladybug? What are we talking about?
They're both the same thing.
This is the little red thing with the black dots.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God. Ladybird. Fly
ladybug.
Away.
Do Fred.
Ladybird to everyone else.
What's the one that's got that lights up at night?
That's a...
Firefly?
Yeah, firefly.
Yeah, see?
Mm. Well, we're not talking about fireflies. We're talking about ladybirds.
Going through my...
Let's get the doc to fill us in, not you.
Yeah, so the great thing about ladybirds, you like seeing them in the garden. They're beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
But they actually serve a really important role in the garden. So they actually eat the insects that eat your plants. So they're insectivorous or carnivorous. You know, they actually eat other insects.
Is that why they're good luck? Because when you see a ladybird, it brings you good luck.
And that's where the bird came from, because it's actually named after, I think it was named after Virgin Mary or Lady, there's some religious
Lady
figure.
Gaga, I'm not someone like that.
Right on the details of the religious side of things.
And why are they travelling in a big pack?
So what they've done is they've had their fun, they've mated, happens in the Northern Hemisphere at the start of their summer.
Yeah.
And then they move to go and eat, get a feed.
Right.
Fair enough. They've worked for it.
That's it.
And then
earned up a sweat, a bit of an appetite.
All right.
They migrate up through the valleys to cooler temperatures, where they then lay their eggs.
But who tells them to go all at the same time? How do they all know?
They
this
just
is insane, Chris.
Jane, it's a DNA imprint. It's a lot of it'll go over your head. But we're saying. Yeah, is that they like it. They just get it. They don't have to think about it.
So thanks, Dr. Malloy.
There is one ladybug that's not so good, though. So there's a well-known in the veterinary circles I mix in, different to your social circles.
I like those circles.
Who's that? You, Dr. Harry Cooper?
Katrina Warren checks in.
Katrina Warren?
She only comes once a month, but we're working on that. And so we catch up, and, hot topic often is ladybugs, because there is this Asian ladybug that's a parasite, and it's been found inside dogs' mouths, and it latches on inside dogs' mouths and just sits there and causes some quite serious problems. So, amongst the thousands of ladybirds out
there.
But
what's it doing there?
Incredible
is it
story.
Living there? Is it hatching stuff? Is it just hanging out? Is it just, doesn't want to go home?
It just sits there in the beautiful, warm environment that is your dog's
stupid
mouth.
Stupid dog doesn't
know. secretes its things and burns the inside of the mouth.
That's got to be one of the most fascinating stories of the year. And now here's a good news story where a man risked his life to save his dog. This is very dramatic.
Jose, the footage is amazing. Have you seen this, Doc? We're talking about?
I have seen it.
So to paint the picture, there's firemen. They're out the front of a burning building. It is burning.
Right.
And they're standing around at the end of the driveway with their hoses, and a guy barrels past. Is that fair to say? Barrels past. It's his house. Runs into a burning house. The firemen are standing around. He emerges later with the dog and reasonably burnt himself.
Wow.
That is a good
That's a hero.
Story.
We've
got That's a guy who loves his dog.
We can have a listen to it first.
All right.
Oh.
He got hurt, man.
I mean, I don't know what
it's
that
an
meant.
Incredible moment. It's incredible they managed to get the 20-piece orchestra.
I thought the same thing.
That music.
I was thinking that myself. How odd.
The video's on Twitter. It's Kennedy Malloy, by
Kennedy
the way.
Malloy, go and have a look. It'll make more sense. But that is a very powerful moment.
Yeah.
That, and it's amazing because it's a question that often asked. If you had to go into a burning building, what would you save? But a pooch. Have you heard of this before, Doc?
Well, the thing about dogs in fires and pets as well is that because their body height is very low to the ground, they actually keep out of the way of a lot of the heat and a lot of the smoke for a bit little bit longer. So they can survive for a bit of time. So that's why when people go in, sometimes they do actually emerge with the animals. This is a big he looks like a big American Staffy or a pit bull.
He does.
He's managed to get out. And I wonder if he was actually, if you look at the video, you hear the car alarm go off. I think that the dog may have actually been sitting in the back of the car at the time before it was actually rescued. But it's amazing. It's inspiring, the fact that he actually, you know, put his life on the line. And the fireys, I mean, they do a lot of yelling saying don't do it, but no one actually stops him, which is probably probably a blessing in a way.
Yes, I'm glad they didn't stop him. Now, here's another topic of conversation that creeps me out and makes me feel quite livid, and it's cat declawing. Mm. The ban is passed by New York lawmakers. What's the deal with people in New York and their cats?
Well, this issue of declawing, so everyone knows that if you have a pet, if you have a cat, and you know, it's almost like the calling card. You can walk into someone's apartment or house and look at their couch straight away and go, yes, you've got a cat, because normally it's wearing a little bit of a bit of damage, and you know, when I say a little bit of damage, it's barely standing, because the cat's usually scratched its way through the outer fabric and into the core. But the whole point of this is that this is actually a normal cat behavior, and you can train them out of doing it. And when people go to declaw a cat, what they're doing is removing not just the claw, not just the nail, but actually amputating the end part of the finger.
Yeah.
Or the toe.
But it's their natural. It's instinctive. That's what they need to do to be a cat.
It is. And it's something that you can actually manage and allow them to do in a non-harmful and non-damaging way. So, you know, when they actually scratch, what they're doing, they're not just clawing a mark.
They're not doing it on purpose.
They're leaving a little scent from the sweat glands on the pads of their feet. So it's actually a scent marker as well as a visual one.
Yeah.
So they're letting it actually calms them down to know that they've sort of put a deposit on that room.
It's a bit like what you do, Mick, when you go to people's houses.
What about a pedicure? Can they have a little? Can we give them a little pedicure? Or?
Well, that's probably the easiest thing to do is just trim the nails. And you do it once a week.
Now,
can we declaw Jane, or is that considered inhumane?
That's difficult. It is very difficult though to cut claws of animals. My dog's not up for it. I think we're just going to have to anaesthetise to have it done.
There are ways, Jane. You know, the best way to keep a dog's
She won't like it.
One thing. Walk them on a tarred road or a rough concrete road.
Where am I going to walk her on a tarmac or something?
Footpath.
She does walk on a footpath, but they're still long and she gets a bit...
Well, the thing is, just do it for 10 minutes a day and you'll actually naturally wear the nails down. I know you're generally walking them in finely manicured parklands where the grass is softer.
In the leafy suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne. Natural habitat. Hey, correct. Doc, we've got to fly. We will see you at the Logies. I expect you to put on an Ed Devereaux style performance in the drinking department.
Good on you, Chris.
See you
Thanks
there.
For your knowledge.
My pleasure. And the living room back tomorrow night.
Love the delivery room.
On 10, Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
All right, now, I'm worried about these millennials.
I'm always worried. They really bug me.
They are.
They're soft.
Well, hang on. No, they're frightened. They don't know how to engage the world properly.
No, they don't, because they're on their phones all the time.
They're a little shattered, often in the fetal position, often clicking their heels, saying there's no place like home, there's no place like home. They don't like moving out. They don't like leaving. How's this? This is the latest, if it can be believed.
Okay, I'm ready.
Millennials are too scared to ring the doorbell.
Stop right I'm not, now.
Well, no.
What?
So rather than ringing a doorbell, when you approach a house and you go ding dong,
yeah.
They find it a bit aggressive. So what they do is they get out the front and then they text to see if you're there.
Do you know what? Yes, that is what happens at my house.
What do you mean?
When visitors come to see my kids, there's no doorbell ringing. So all I hear is the door shut and skelter upstairs or into rooms or anything. Yeah, and they okay. go, oh, blah, blah, Hannah's here. Or
okay, I got a question
Jerome's
for you.
Jerome's here.
What is going on?
Why are they afraid of the doorbell?
Jeez Louise. They're going, it's too rude. You know what's rude?
Rude?
This is where I draw the line.
Okay.
Yeah. This is, shows you we're from different times.
Yeah.
The only thing I won't tolerate is the drop-in. So I'm you can ring the doorbell. You can ring the doorbell at 5 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not going to open it.
Well, yeah, depending on who it is and what the circumstances of the meeting is.
I'm with you, kind sir.
But so I get absolutely ropeable. I don't care who you are, whether you're a neighbour, whether you're a family member, whether you do.
Oh, there's no drop-ins.
If you turn up unannounced and knock on my door,
we just don't open it.
It will be a frosty, frosty.
Why would you even bother opening? You just don't, just hide under
But what about a doorbell? What about a quiet doorbell?
Yeah.
Ding.
But isn't there a bit of anticipation when you go to the door? You know, it's sort of a special thing.
It's never good.
Generally.
It's usually the cops.
Sometimes it's the
disgruntled
people.
Disgruntled former partner is quite a burgeoning category.
It could be the wine arriving. Could be the alcohol coming to the door. Hello, ding dong.
Do you order wine?
Yes.
Oh, like that?
Oh,
from
yes.
From your ordering agencies?
Yep.
I remember you had me follow a truck once. We were driving through town and there was a truck that said we deliver alcohol and it had a number and you made the driver turn left and follow it.
I said, quickly, let me
follow
get
that van.
Really?
I said, Jane, I'm not sure the alcohol's actually in the truck.
I know, but I just wanted to get the contact. But no, I get that delivered.
So they're too scared to ring the doorbell. They're too scared to interact with people, aren't they?
They're pathetic.
They're too scared to leave home. Is that fair?
Well, I'll tell you what, there's another thing they do.
What's that?
They don't have their phone on ring.
No.
They never. No. It's always on silent.
I'll ring my daughter.
She
never picks up.
It drives me mad. They
so
always
how do
have
they
it
know
on
the
silent.
Phone's ring?
They don't.
Because they're always holding it, so they can always see.
Feel,
this is the theory.
Feel the vibe.
But it is. I've never heard any of my kids' phones ring.
No.
But I know when they've picked up and start talking.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that?
Have you ever
why
taken them
that?
Out of range? Have you ever taken them? So,
yes.
I'm taking some of my friends who were married to their phones up to the Kimberley.
Yes. Yeah.
And they just lost it. Like for about 3.5 days,
yeah.
You should have seen it. As soon as we got back within a mobile range, it was like we'd just come back from the seventh layer of hell. Like, the phones just started going off automatically. Oh ding, 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 ding.
That's nuts, isn't
it? Here's another thing that's been created for millennials and aimed at millennials. You won't believe this, although I can.
Mm.
It's a toilet paper roll. That lasts.
Well, they're too frightened to wipe their bottom.
It lasts for 3 months because it's so big. Look, it's because millennials,
Lord.
I know, will not change a toilet roll.
There's an entire ticker tape parade in there.
So what you do is massive. You give them a big, massive roll so they don't have to change it as much.
But why is that? Why do millennials, they don't like buying a roll of toilet paper?
No, they've got no brain power left to put a new roll on the toilet holder. They've got no brain power.
This is a very disparaging segment. Millennials. I'm sure there's a lot of good things too.
So a friend of mine who's got a 16-year-old son didn't know how to change a light bulb 2 days ago.
Well, sorry.
Didn't know what
I'm
to do.
I'm looking at my bearded friend across from here.
A light bulb.
These how light many bulbs, light bulbs have you changed?
These light bulbs you talk of.
What do you mean?
Of course they don't know how to change a light globe.
You got your screw or your bayonet style operation.
What are those words to millennials? You're speaking
I
a foreign language.
I couldn't believe it. I said light bulb.
Don't say bayonet. Bandy that around.
Technology was clap on. Clap on. Dave, I moved out of the house because my smoke detector.
He moved into a hotel.
Because you couldn't change the smoke alarm.
You couldn't turn it off.
So you get a ladder, up.
No, I moved into a hotel and rang my mum. Told her what was going on. She organised someone to go and fix it.
Do you think Mick Malloy owns a ladder?
Well, at least a chair.
I could be like a guru to millennials. I could be like a Yoda-style figure.
A wizard.
I was ahead of my time. All right, there it is. Harden up, millennials.
Yeah.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Good Lord, what a night for sports fans. There's so much going on in the world
right now.
If you know anyone who might like to just get on the couch, get in the groove, get the remote in one hand, tracky dacks on, point it at the telly and just keep watching
going
sport.
All night.
It couldn't get better. There's so much on.
There is. The cricket's on.
World Cup cricket. If you watch cricket, I don't anymore.
Well, you should because it's the World Cup.
I've given up on cricket.
It disappoints me.
What do you mean?
I'm just done. I'm done with it.
Get over it.
They've killed the game.
Come on.
They've killed the game.
Get out of that
funk. I can't support them.
Move on.
It's so hard.
But that's so mean about all the other players.
Everyone hates us.
Just because a couple of players disappointed you.
Cricket Australia have seriously
Well, we're turning the corner now.
Well, I think that's stick in the mud.
Yeah.
I think you are a stick in the mud.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think I'll watch something else.
All right.
There'll be some table tennis on something or some darts.
Oh, darts.
I know you love your
Northern
darts.
Northern England.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Have a nice beer and some darts.
So there's that. Yep. There's also now tennis fans, again, not my sport, and in particular the women's. You know, it's never been the same since they stopped wearing those frilly underpants. Do you know the ones?
Yeah.
I do.
Ted Tingling, I think, invented them.
He did.
What
about the Terry Towling ones?
The ones with the little frills.
I know. I used to wear some.
Oh, did you?
Back in the day.
Well, Yvonne Goolagong style.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'd always pray for second serve. You'd just see a hint of it.
Yes. Is it Sue Caldwell? Who was the one that you saw?
Sue Caldwell. Sue Barker.
Sue Barker, sorry, yeah.
Okay.
Those were the days.
They were the days. But the French Open is on. Australia's doing well.
And Martina Hingis getting stabbed. That was good.
That was great.
Listen, I don't know if your credentials of talking up tennis are going that strongly.
But listen, a great news for us tonight because Ash Barty, Australia's own Ash Barty, is at the French Open, is made it into the quarterfinals.
Oh,
I'm a huge Ash Barty fan.
Jane. I think I know where you're going.
Do you like Ash Barty?
She's a superstar.
You just hold up.
Ash Barty?
I do, yeah.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I can't support Ash Barty?
Well, not in the way that I'm thinking you might be about to support her.
What are you saying?
Don't promise anything because I think you might have been down this track before.
Okay.
And it leads to one thing.
Now listen.
And it's very juvenile and you're not going to do it.
Look, that was a special occasion. She needed to take a rest break.
No.
No,
you know what? I'm afraid I might even have it here.
Oh, good luck.
I'm sorry.
Ash Barty took a toilet break. Someone heard her do a Barty farty.
Oh, geez.
Did you really say that? Did he say that on air?
Yeah.
Central Court Judge, can I take a break, please? Why? I need to do a Barty farty.
It's really amused you, hasn't it?
The Barty farty. So sit up tonight and you might see a Barty farty.
That's right.
I bet you
She could blow the onto car around the court.
Careful. Where's your respect?
She bagged the court, letting a couple rip.
Yeah, stay downwind.
Listen, we need her. We got hope. All our stupid men have gone.
We like her. What's happened to Serena Williams? Did she storm out? Tip the furniture over
she's
and
out.
Storm out?
Yeah. Good riddance.
Jeez. Now listen, is she a classic?
She storms,
Do you know who I am?
Oh, definitely.
Because
she terrifies me.
She terrifies everyone. She chased a guy out of his own press conference.
That was a bit harsh. No, I think she's... anyway, well, she's out. Right, so now we have to all put all our baskets...
Anyway, if you have to
eggs
watch...
Eggs in Ash Barty's basket. Careful, don't say it again.
I just like an Ash Barty.
I'm going to get her to call you up one day.
She does a Barty farty. Ash Barty took a toilet break. Someone heard her do a Barty farty.
Oh,
did you really say that? Did he say that on air?
Yeah.
Central Court Judge, can I take a break, please? Why? I need to do a Barty farty.
Oh.
Now, that's champagne comedy. That's...
Your work here is done.
Look and learn, kids.
Get any more.
Master at work.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to Bosch Heavy Duty ProCore 18-volt two-piece brushless kit. Get it in store or selected Bosch retailers. Good, better Bosch.
Good on you, Bosch.
Yeah, well done.
You.
Bosch have been brilliant this week for us, the last few weeks.
Sorry,
are you eating something? Are you eating something?
You're on air.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Not you've had that commercial break. You've had the songs before. You're a professional.
What have you got in your mouth?
What'd you pop there?
What have you got?
Malteser? What is it?
Cough it up. It feels like really... a bad dog. Bad dog.
Give me the Heimlich remover.
It's an Allen's banana.
Oh, Jane.
There's a party mix here. There's a party going on in my mouth.
Is it a Barty party?
It's a Janie party.
Now, Are you okay with that? Are you, do you feel comfortable?
People don't mind.
Oh, well.
You're just, God, what are you, dobber dicks? God, nah, what just, am I at school?
Well, I think it may have been obvious to anyone listening at home.
Anyway.
You just don't care sometimes, do you?
It must be. It's the vaccinations.
Oh, that's what it is.
The vaccinations.
You're gone loopy.
Did you hear me grumble?
Yes, I did.
No.
Are you
heard nothing more about it.
Yes, I did hear you grumble
real
about
quiet about it. Hey, the front bar's on tonight,
hey.
8:30
yes,
on
excellent.
7 in Victoria, Tasmania, South Australia and Western Australia, New South Wales and Queensland. Check your local guides. Chris Fagan's on tonight and Neil Danaher.
And Neil Danaher,
as well.
The great Neil Danaher, of course. They're raising money. It's the big freeze at the G this Monday.
Yeah.
And the sliders. Oh, I've done that.
You have done
that,
it.
I was in the
you were very first, impressive.
First group.
Well, I go down
they'll
the
be sliding
into the ice bath.
Yeah, so all that's happening, and you can get tickets to the front
right
bar.
Now.
We, can we give
yeah.
them away?
133353. If you're in Melbourne, ring right now, 133353. Tonight on 7, the front bar.
Get on to it.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Those front bar tickets have been snapped up.
Wow, that's exciting. Front bar tonight, yeah. Channel 7, everyone. I'll be watching.
Me
can't
too.
Wait.
Where? Will you be eating something while you watch?
Oh, Jane.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you. Why? There are many things you don't need to do while we're doing the show, but you seem to eat a lot.
I don't really.
I haven't listened. This was you in the last break.
Bosch have been brilliant this week for us, the last few weeks.
Sorry, are you eating something? Are you eating something?
You're on air.
Oh,
you're
my
on air.
God.
People can relate to me.
Yes.
I'm just having you know what? I never have a lolly. I was a bit down on energy today since I've had my immunisations.
Keep going on about your immunisations.
My yellow fever and my typhoid.
Like I did.
And my hep A. Oh, it's a little bruised.
Yeah.
And I just need a little treat.
Well.
Pardon me, everyone.
You had a song and a commercial break to sort of, you know, get that sort of stuff done.
Well, you know why I hate it?
Mics are on.
I ate it because I thought otherwise Mick's going to steal them all, and I wanted at least one banana before he woofs the whole bag down.
Mm. I'd never take the bananas. They're yours.
Really?
Not a banana.
You should dress as a banana once.
That's true.
Go to the
have a great affinity.
We do indeed.
You like your licorice, though, all sorts.
Hey.
Hey, we had a bunch of people that entered online at kennedymalloy.com.au, as you know,
we
this week.
Too.
We're giving our listeners the chance to win a trip to Townsville, Northern
Queensland.
What do
these Queensland. Guys do?
They've just gone online to the win page at kennedymalloy.com.
Sounds a bit easy to me.
Wow, congratulations to Julia from Western Australia.
How'd you choose her?
Because she had a good story to tell, and that's why we chose.
He probably knows online. Her. He
I do not.
She'll be a relative.
No,
if he's not stealing stuff himself.
No. We won't go into it, but she's recently had a bit of a change
and
things happening.
Did the right thing by going online. So we love our WA listeners. So enjoy Townsville on us, courtesy of Kennedy Malloy. Well done.
Excellent. Coming up tomorrow, we've got Dave Reynolds, one of our great mates, and the great Dave O'Neill as well.
Alrighty then.
Have a good show on the front bar, Mickey.
Yeah, we'll see you on the telly tonight. This is Kennedy Malloy. We'll see you back tomorrow.
Another unbelievable Kennedy Malloy podcast done and dusted. For the unbelievable deal of the year, grab a Bosch Heavy Duty Pro Core 18-volt two-piece brushless kit for $299 at selected retailers now.